This is my 39th Christmas that I've lived through. Don't remember the first one. But many of you have heard the Christmas story more than 39 times. There was angels, they appeared to Mary, said, "You're going to do this." Then there was the travel to Bethlehem, the shepherds. Angels appeared to them. Mary and Joseph couldn't find any place in the inn, so they had Jesus with the animals. Most of you know that story. Some of you have probably even acted in plays, acting out the Christmas story. So some of my earliest memories. But this Christmas, I thought to myself, how many times will I hear the Christmas story before it becomes boring? How many times will I hear it before it's old news? Yeah, Jesus is born. We get it. Same story as last year. But then I randomly heard someone say, they weren't even talking to me, randomly heard someone say that Jesus is not a subject to be studied, but rather he is a person to be adored. And so as I prepared for Christmas again, I was amazed beyond what I had ever expected. So just to start being amazed with me, would you just join me? Jesus did not begin on Christmas. You and I started on our birthday. That was when we came to be. But not so with Jesus. He was in heaven always. Before he came to earth, he left heaven to come and be born to rescue us. Jesus always existed. Now, if you're a thinking person, that's shocking. I know, but it's true. So with this, the coming of Jesus was predicted hundreds and even thousands of years before he came. Like, I want you to be fascinated with me. Have you ever wondered why God didn't just start the world with the crucifixion? Like, why not just start the world with Jesus dying for our sins and then let history play out? And whoever believes in him, he will be saved, and whoever rejects, is not saved. You ever wonder that? These are the things that keep me up at night. Why wait thousands of years to come save his people? Why? Well, because God alone is the only one that can predict the future. And God alone is the only one that has the power and the authority to fulfill it, to make it come to be. He did it this way so that you might know that Jesus is the only Savior. I want you to be fascinated with this, that Jesus is the exact right one. Not to be confused with any other Savior that the world might try to produce. Like when you read the book of Matthew, he quotes the Old Testament 52 times, and he says over and over and over again, this happened to fulfill. You ever wonder why you're reading the genealogies and you're like, what's up with all the names? I can't even pronounce half of these. It's so that you might know that he was the son of David, the son of Jesse, the seed of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And it's exactly this Jesus, not to be confused with any other Savior. Like, we could not guess red or black six times. Is Bennett still up here? Bennett, you ought to come back up here. Come on, come and get your $5. Come on. Do you want to know the odds of guessing what you just did? Was 3% odds. And the odds of you hitting this was 1%. So you deserve a prize, buddy. That really made me nervous. Like, you're not supposed to get this far. But that's impressive. The odds of doing that were 50-50 at first, and then it goes to 25, and it keeps going down 3%, and that's 1%. And that's a risk I was willing to take to teach you that nobody but God can predict the future. we could not guess red or black 6 times in a row. Bennett came close. But let me ask you this. Who's going to be the president of the United States 100 years from now? I asked this at youth group, and they were all shocked to hear that whoever's going to be the president 100 years from now has not yet been born. Because most of the kids with half brains said they're going to be the president 100 years from now, and I had to inform them that they will be dead 100 years from now. No 115-year-old presidents I know of. That's nice, but the Bible said, get this, that Cyrus would be the king of Persia 100 years before it ever happened. Who can put that down? No other book is like this in all of existence because God is its author. I actually looked up this week. No other religion is like this. I looked up Hinduism, predictions and prophecies, Buddhism, predictions and prophecies. And do you know what the response was when I went on my deep Google dive? Hinduism and Buddhism just isn't into prophecies. Well, that's because you're fake. You should believe the Bible is the very words of God just on its predictions alone. It should just floor you. That's why I was willing to do that card trick. I mean, consider a few of these just about Jesus. We could not guess a 50-50 shot. Red or black, okay? That's pretty good odds. Just seconds before we needed to. I mean, there was $50 on the line. But get this, 700 years before Jesus came, in the book of Micah, 700 BC, it said the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. We know when this book was written. It's not like we put this in after Jesus came. But to you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. It was such a teeny town. From you shall come forth one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. How do you predict that? Do you get that? I mean, just be amazed with me. I've heard the Christmas story 30 times, and this fascinates me. This is not a 50-50 chance. Name the exact town is what this is. There were hundreds of towns in Israel at this point. Hundreds of possibilities that they could have said a different town, Jerusalem, Samaria. But they got it exactly right and predicted it. How much control did you have over where you were born? Big fat zero. You could have been born in Calcutta, India. No control over you. You could have been born in North Korea. Zero control over where you're born. Let's just pretend Jesus was a master manipulator. He did not have control over his own birth. You don't have any control over your birth, your nativity, your Noel, unless you are God, unless you are Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. That alone should be amazing to you, that they just got the town right. But I'm going to give you a few more. 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah said he will be born of a virgin. Just so we're all on the same page, that has never happened before Jesus. And that will never happen after Jesus. I don't care what your teenage daughter says. Not happening. You're guilty of... Okay, I'm back to the script. Sorry. You can't predict that. Everyone has a daddy. But Jesus was born of a virgin. You can't predict that unless you're God. Isaiah 7:14 puts it this way. 700 BC. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Here it is. I'm going to spell it out for you. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God among us. This is not a 50-50 chance. This is exact, precise, predicted, and fulfilled. just with Jesus, it was predicted that kings will seek his life and that they will kill babies trying to put Jesus to death. That was predicted. If you know the story, Herod ordered the death of all babies 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding region. And they did it. When people today think that the world's really gone awry, 2,023 years ago, it was maybe even worse than it is today. It was predicted that Jesus would do miracles. He would give sight to the blind. How do you predict that? Make the crippled walk. It was predicted that he would be betrayed by a friend, Judas. And get this is fascinating. The Bible even predicted the amount that he would be sold for, 30 pieces of silver. Who can guess that? A kid at youth group asked, "How much is that?" And snarkily, I replied, "More than 29, less than 31. I'm not a very good youth pastor. We did the same thing at youth group. But what I should have told him, he's not here today, I thought he might be, but what I should have told him was that was enough to buy a whole field. So farmers, how much is a field worth? That's a lot. Probably enough to tempt you to betray the King of Kings. Well, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Even when it comes to predictions and fulfilled prophecy about Jesus, what's fascinating about these predictions is that they were being fulfilled by Jesus' enemies also. Predictions weren't being fulfilled just by Jesus' friends, but his enemies. Like, let your heart be shocked by this. If you have a conspiracy and you're trying to pull off some kind of coup, your friends might be in on it, might be fulfilling predictions, but your enemies? Those who had the most to lose by this Jesus being true, Roman soldiers, Judas, they fulfilled the predictions. The Bible predicted that he would be beaten, spit on, his beard would be pulled out, and yet not a single one of his bones would be broken. How can you predict that? The soldiers went over to smash the legs of Jesus on the cross so that he couldn't push up anymore to breathe. And they went over and they said, "Oh man, he's already dead. But just in case, we're going to take this long spear and we're going to shove it through his sides." And do you know what the Bible said? Hundreds of years earlier, it said he will be pierced. How do you predict that? The Bible predicted that he would be crucified. Nails would pierce his hands and his feet. Get this, even before crucifixion was ever invented by the Romans. This isn't like five lucky chances. You can't name this. Church, be amazed this Christmas. What kind of child is this? The God of very gods came to dwell with us. They predicted that they would gamble for his clothes. That was a prediction. They predicted that he would be buried in a rich man's grave with Joseph of Arimathea. Get this, his body was lifeless, and he was still fulfilling prophecy. I don't know how you guys are so calm over this. If the Chiefs were winning, you would be amazed. No one is like this Jesus, fulfilling prophecy from the womb to the tomb. You didn't have control over what's going to happen before you're born. You don't have control over your lifeless body in the grave, but Jesus was still fulfilling prophecy from the womb to the tomb. I have a list here of 351 predictions about Jesus. Here is the Old Testament prediction, and here is the New Testament fulfillment. Front and back, page after page after page, he nailed every single one of them. You should really look at that sometime. I laid it next to the 50. Almost had to do a youth group lesson on stealing. There's no one like this Jesus. This Christmas, do not tip the hat to baby Jesus so that you can get on to what you really wanted, the presents and the time with your family. But this Christmas, really be shocked and amazed that God left heaven to come and save our sorry butts. That's a gift that can't be created. That is Christmas. The odds of one man dividing time and fulfilling all of these predictions to a T is mathematically incomprehensible. Ty found the math, and it was 1 to 10 times 17th power. That is 17 zeros after it. We don't have a word for that number. It's big. So let me just make this understandable for you. The odds of Jesus fulfilling every single one of these prophecies, where he was going to be born, how he was going to be born, how he was going to be buried, how he was going to die, what he was going to do, is like the odds of throwing a dart from the moon and hitting a bullseye on Earth. Dude Perfect can't even do that. You realize the Earth is a moving target. It's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator. Throw darts your whole life and everyone else's life. You're not hitting it. It's the odds that if a tornado went through Smitty's salvage and ripped it all up, on the other side there would be a perfectly functioning 737 jet with fuel. And if you think that's possible, my question is, would you fly in it? If a tornado made it. The odds of this happening are as if you had all the sand on Earth, every shore, every beach, every grain, and I hid one grain of sand for you to go find, and you went and found it. We can't even compute the mathematical odds that there is no way. It's impossible. At Christmas, those are the odds that Jesus fulfilled by his coming. Those kind of odds. Those are the odds he fulfilled at his rescue, to come and save his people from their sins. Those are the odds he fulfilled with his death and resurrection. Now here's the craziest part. That's what Christmas is all about. But next week, we're going to be covering that Jesus is only coming in a manger once. The next time he comes, it will be entirely different. That's next week. Let's pray. God, I pray that your church would be shocked by who you are. Nobody but you could do these things. Help us not to second guess, do we have the right Messiah? Help us to not just give Jesus a little tip of the hat before we get him out of the way. But may your church be shocked at what kind of child this is. Nobody like him. May we see him as a person to be adored and not just a subject to be studied. We ask that you would do this for the honor of his name this Christmas. Amen.